Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, December 8, 2024, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. There's the crooner. Deb and I tried to watch the UNLV Boise State football game, but at halftime when they were behind 21-0, I said, nope. And I found the NFR, National Finals Rodeo. Now that was worth watching. The National Finals Rodeo. And I've said this from the get-go, Las Vegas is blessed by association having the NFR held here in Las Vegas. Now, I don't know if any of you ever watch or listen. They always start, first of all, they always start with a prayer. And it's not like any prayer you ever hear about any sporting event in any place else. Basketball, football, baseball, none of them. Nothing. When they pray, they give the grace gospel. The grace gospel is given. As he gets to the end of the prayer, he said, Father, we want to thank you for the greatest gift of all you've given to us. The gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he accomplished for us on the cross. This is a National Finals Rodeo. The grace gospel is given. Deb and I are sitting here going, this is so great. And we watched the NFR the rest of the night. We didn't miss anything. UNLV got beat every way you can get beat. And they were very well prepared. We have a offensive coordinator. Everybody's touting this guy as the go-go offense. This was the no-go offense. It went nowhere. It was absolutely pathetic. And when you get into the red zone again and again and again and nothing, your no-go has gone and went. And then we had the defense. Three times they had interceptions and dropped them. Three times. Interceptions and drop. When you're playing on defense, if you get a chance for an interception, you have to make that interception. Period. Those only come along once a game, usually twice, maybe three times, and they dropped it all three times. So they got clobbered by Boise State. And who knows? Boise State has a great team. I don't know how they already played Oregon. I think they only lost to Oregon by 3 points. So they played them once. They might play them again in a national championship. All right. No extra charge for that. Romans 8, verse 6, so far we have, so then, the mindset of the sin nature is death. And that's carnal death resulting in the sin unto death. All right? 1, the believer who lives his life under the control and the mindset, that's verse 5, the believer who lives his life under the control and the mindset, the phronema of the sin nature, he is living in carnal death. The believer in Jesus Christ who is living his life under the control and the mindset of the sin nature, he is living in carnal death. 2. The result of continuing to live under the control and mindset of the sin nature is the sin unto death. The result of continuing to live your life under the control and mindset of the sin nature is the sin unto death. Three. The justice of God can only discipline such a believer. He can only discipline such a believer. Now, the thing that's so great about our Heavenly Father is we are His children. It's a family matter. When you get out of fellowship with God, it's a family matter. And we have a Heavenly Father. And He loves us with infinite virtue love. And when He disciplines us, the motivation is His love for us. Infinite virtue love for us. He doesn't want to see us crash and burn. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us with the most phenomenal blessings. He has the most fantastic plan for us in time and for all eternity. And He wants to bless us. He loves us. He will always love us. With infinite virtue love. And when we make bad decisions, we make bad decisions to live our life in Satan's cosmic system, well, then He spanks us. But He spanks us because He loves us. And His whole objective is to get you to come to your senses, to wake up, come to your senses. Rebound. Get back into fellowship with God. Get back to the filling of the Spirit. Get back into the spiritual life. And then make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So the justice of God can only discipline such a believer. But that discipline is motivated by His love for us. Hebrews 12. 5 and 6. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. We've seen that many times. Point 4. This discipline includes, first of all, warning discipline. And for some believers, that's all it takes, warning discipline. They come to their senses, rebound, get back into fellowship with God, and get going. But if that doesn't work, then God brings intensive discipline. And for others, intensive discipline is enough for them to come to their senses and wake up and rebound and get going. But there are always some that don't. And then comes dying discipline, and that's the sin unto death. It's not just one sin. It's a lifetime of living in Satan's cosmic system. So 5, the sin unto death is maximum divine discipline from the justice of God to the reversionistic believer. The sin unto death is maximum divine discipline from the justice of God to the reversionistic believer. But always remember, God disciplines us because he loves us and he wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. So we have the greatest Heavenly Father that has the greatest grace plan for us. And learn from that. Now in the Bible, that word death, you have death, and we have the word for death is thanatos. There it is right there. It's used 7 different ways in the Word of God. 7 different ways. There are 7 categories of death in the God-breathed scriptures. And it's important to know all those. I think I've told you this before, but I went to Baraka when there was a whole group of believers that had gone through Dallas Seminary and graduated, and they were being ordained at Baraka. They were about 2 years ahead of me. It was a big class, big group. They were being ordained ahead of me. I had 2 more years of Dallas Seminary waiting for me, but I wanted to be there and see what goes on at these ordination ceremonies. And here were all these men. I knew all these men. We did everything together. They were great, great men and went on as pastors in churches around America and did a fantastic job. But Colonel is sitting there in front of them. Get these things out of the way. I want to get a straight shot and see these guys. And then he'd go one by one, ask him a question. This one time, he says, all right, in the Bible we have the doctrine of death. And there are 7 categories of death in the Bible. All right, each one of you. You start here, you give me a category of death in the Bible. He didn't explain exactly what that is. All right, now you pick another category. Yeah, I'll explain exactly what that is. I remember he came to Herman. He said, all right, Herman, you give me a category of death. And Herman goes, oh, Colonel, it's the one that scares me the most. Sexual death. Everybody laughed, of course. You're a little slow on the uptake, but everybody laughed. Well, 7 categories of death. Category number 1 is spiritual death. Spiritual death. The origin of spiritual death was the original sin of Adam, man, Adam in the garden. The penalty was imposed at the fall of man, and is perpetuated in the human race through the imputation of Adam's original sin to the genetically formed old sin nature of physical birth. So spiritual death occurs at the moment of physical birth. Spiritual death occurs at the moment of physical birth. The entire human race is born physically alive, but spiritually dead, because of the 2 imputations that occur at physical birth. Human life imputed to the soul, and Adam's original sin imputed to the sin nature. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 teaches, therefore, Just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death, spiritual death, through that sin, so spiritual death spread to all men, because all sinned when Adam sinned. All right, a couple of things. One, Adam made a decision for the entire human race. Adam made a decision for the entire human race. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die spiritual death, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Two, spiritual death is perpetuated in the human race at physical birth. Spiritual death is perpetuated in the human race at physical birth. Three, the condemnation of mankind is not based on our personal sins, but on the imputed sin, the imputation of Adam's original sin to our genetically formed sin nature at physical birth. So the condemnation of mankind is not based on personal sin, but on the imputation of Adam's original sin to our genetically formed sin nature at physical birth. Four. Now, our personal sins that we commit, they are the result of our spiritual death. They are the result of our spiritual death. So personal sin is not the means of spiritual death, but it is the result of our spiritual death. Five, spiritual death means that we are dichotomous. When we are born physically, we're born dichotomous. We have a body and we have a soul. But we are spiritually dead. No human spirit. Six, therefore we cannot understand the gospel or anything about God because those things are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. We've studied that passage many times. Therefore, the unbeliever, the soulish man, he's called the soulish man in that passage, he's called the soulish man because he's dichotomous, body and soul, but spiritually dead. And the soulish man can't understand the things of God. So we cannot understand God, the Word of God, the grace, the gospel, or anything except for when God, the Holy Spirit, in common grace, turns the light on at gospel hearing, and then we can see the grace gospel, see the issue, and have the opportunity for eternal salvation by faith in Christ. Seven, spiritual death means the status of total depravity. The status of total depravity. And total depravity means we are in either moral or immoral degeneracy in our life. Eight, spiritual death means total separation from God. Total separation from God. The status of total helplessness to do anything about it brings in the issue of the grace of God. Salvation is by grace through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The grace of God. Nine, the Holy Spirit can make the grace gospel, faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, can make that clear to the spiritually dead unbeliever. Common grace. The Holy Spirit turns the light on so that he understands this is the issue for eternal salvation. Now, the ruler of this world, Satan, does not want anyone to understand the issue of salvation. He blinds the minds of unbelievers to the issue of salvation. And he blinds them by emphasizing all kinds of human good. Do this and do that and do this and do that. And help your fellow man and all these things. And that's what Satan pushed. That makes that the issue. But he blinds them to the fact that there's only one way of salvation. Only one. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Anything added to faith in Jesus Christ means no salvation. And Satan knows that. And he emphasizes everything except the grace gospel. Faith plus anything is salvation by works, which eliminates the work of God. The work of God, the Holy Spirit, in common and efficacious grace. That's category number one, spiritual death. Category number two, positional death. Positional death of the believer. While spiritual death occurs at physical birth, positional death occurs at the new birth, regeneration, the moment of salvation, faith in Christ. Positional death occurs through the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the moment of our salvation, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. And through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the believer is identified with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and in his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father, current positional truth. And we studied all of that in great detail. Where do we study it? Romans chapter 6. Right. Thank you. All of you are right on that. Romans chapter 6, we studied that verses 1 to 14. Category number 3 is sexual death. Sexual death. And sexual death in the male refers to the inability to copulate and to procreate and have children. Sexual death in the female refers to the inability to procreate and therefore failure to have children. This category of death is only found two places in the Word of God. It's in relationship to Abraham and Sarah in Romans 4, 17 to 21, and Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12. Category number 4, physical death. Physical death. All right, let's take a few points on this. One, physical death is defined as separation of the soul from the body. Now here you are. I'm looking out there and I see bodies. You have a body and you were born with a body and a soul. And then at the new birth, regeneration, you body, soul, and spirit. Now, what is physical death? Well, your soul and spirit leave the body. All this body is a tent. And it's a tent that's wearing out. And we are here a very short time on this earth. But while we're here, why are we here? We are here to glorify God. We're here to glorify God. And in the short time from at the moment of salvation to either the rapture or physical death, we're here to glorify God. We're here to live the spiritual life. We're here to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We're here to have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts. When we do that, God blesses us with greater grace blessings in time, and greater grace blessings be awarded to us at the judgment seat of Christ. And that will glorify God forever and ever and ever. So, physical death, point one, is defined as separation of the soul and the spirit from the body so that the person no longer lives on planet Earth. We no longer live on planet Earth. Physical death just means you change your address. That's all. You're not living on Earth. You're face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll be face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ and with Him forever in heaven. So for the believer in Jesus Christ, physical death, you change your address. It's a promotion. You're promoted. Absent from the body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all look forward to that. I'm definitely looking forward to that. My interim body and my resurrection body have great knees. They have great knees. So I am definitely looking forward to that interim body or resurrection body if the rapture occurs first. And the way things are going, the rapture could occur before I say amen this morning. So physical death is defined as separation of the soul and the spirit from the body so that the person no longer lives on planet Earth. But our soul and spirit never dies. It lives forever. Two, after physical death, the soul of the believer resides in an interim body until the rapture, at which time it leaves the third heaven and goes to the second heaven and receives a resurrection body. So after our physical death, the soul of the believer resides in an interim body until the rapture of the church, and then at which time it leaves the third heaven, goes to the second heaven, receives its resurrection body. Three, after physical death, the soul of the unbeliever leaves the body and goes to Hades. And there remains in a compartment called torments until the end of time. And then it is resurrected and brought before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment, where he is judged and then cast into the lake of fire. That's Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15. So that's the unbeliever. So for the unbeliever, the soul of the unbeliever leaves the body and goes to Hades and torments until the second resurrection and facing Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. For the believer, physical death is always God's victory. Always God's victory. I love doing memorial services for believers in Jesus Christ. And I always start that memorial service with, we are here today to celebrate a great victory. A great victory. Because now this is God's victory. Absent from the body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to celebrate a great victory. God gives the victory to all believers through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 55. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Five, physical death cannot separate the believer from God. Physical death cannot separate the believer in Jesus Christ from God. Romans 8. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death, physical death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are, where are we? In union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. Romans 8, 38 and 39. So physical death cannot separate the believer from God. 6, physical death is a matter of the sovereign decision of God based on His perfect knowledge of all the facts. God has the right time. God has a time when we were born. He has a time when we will die. And it'll be God's perfect timing. He never makes a bad decision. So we all look forward to that. Perfect timing of God. Time to be born, time to die physical death. So physical death is a matter of the sovereign decision of God based on His perfect knowledge of all the facts. 7, the believer who attains spiritual maturity, the winner believer, he departs under dying grace. Dying grace. It's awesome. It's fantastic. And if the rapture, if the Lord tarries, well then, we will all die. And I am expecting most of you, if not all of you, to die by dying grace. It's dessert. It's chocolate pie with whipped cream and a maraschino cherry. Doesn't get any better than that. That's the best. I love chocolate pie. Now, I love it the way my mom made it. Not these fancy, dancy, pansy pies that are out there that are, I don't even know what the hell it is, but they're expensive. You got to pay a lot of money. My mom took chocolate jello pudding, and out of that chocolate jello pudding, made a pudding, chocolate pudding pie. It was thick and heavy and whipped cream, maraschino cherry. That's still the best one, my favorite ever. And when I think of physical death, I think I get to have chocolate pie. So if I go here and you don't see me and they do some kind of a little memorial service or whatever, they might not. We can have a celebration. Hey, Pastor Olson's gone. Yeah. I'm enjoying my dessert. So the believer who attains spiritual maturity departs under dying grace. Turn over and we'll end with this morning. Psalm 23. There's a great winner believer here. Name is David. Great believer David. Psalm 23. Psalm of winner, believer, spiritually mature believer, David. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Occupation, you're with me. Jesus Christ goes right through with you through physical death, for you are with me. And this is occupation with Christ. And on the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is sharing the happiness of God. So you got occupation with Christ. You're sharing the happiness of God. And what is physical death? It's promotion. Fantastic. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Psalm 23. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and of happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.